Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health. Have you been trying to lose weight and following the traditional cookie-cutter diet isn't working for you? Do you wake up tired after a full night's sleep, have midline fat, irritability, and mild depression? Maybe you, like over 45% of Americans, have metabolism B. Diane Kress, registered dietitian, certified diabetes educator, and the author of the New York Times bestseller, The Metabolism Miracle, Three Easy Steps to Regain Control of Your Weight Permanently, is joining us today to explain Metabolism B and how it is sabotaging your weight loss efforts. Diane, welcome to It's Your Health.
Hi, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I'm so happy to have you here. Now, in the introduction to your wonderful book, The Metabolism Miracle, Three Easy Steps to Regain Control of Your Weight Permanently, you write, "Diets are built on the assumption that everyone's metabolism works in the same way and that the diet that works for one person will work equally well for another." Now, I too made this assumption until I read your book and learned that there are two types, metabolism A and metabolism B. Now, I know which one I have, but I'll get into that later. Can you tell us about them?
Absolutely. Traditionally, in as a registered dietitian and as a nutritionist, when I work with a patient in the past, there would be a formula that's used universally, and the assumption was that everyone's weight was based on the calories they took in minus the calories that they burned off. So when I would configure a weight loss diet for anyone, it was done by a formula. And you'd put into the formula the gender of the person, their height, the weight, their activity level, and out would pop a nice number of calories, and that calorie allotment tacked on with some activity would be the way I would set up a weight reduction diet. I began to realize quite early in my career that that did work. Don't get me wrong, works for about 50% of the population, and they would get the results that, you know, they anticipated, which would be 1 to 2 pounds a week, as long as they stuck with that calorie allotment. But about 50% of the population, the other half, despite their doing everything that I asked them to do in regard to what they ate and how they exercised, they were getting mediocre, at best, results. So I spent my whole career, it's been over 25 years now, and weight reduction is my specialty area, in finding the reason for this big, it's almost like an opposition in metabolisms. And about 10 years ago, research came out on a condition called metabolic syndrome. It's been around for over 20 years, but the research came out about 10 years ago that showed you can really pinpoint a person whose metabolism does not fit that formula. And why it doesn't fit is because the person has an actual physical difference, and it's a hormonal imbalance of a fat gain hormone called insulin. So what my book is about, The Metabolism Miracle, is based on research, and I've done my program now with over 3,500 people successfully, and these are people that meet the criteria for Metabolism B. It's based on the idea that we don't process, I do have Metabolism B myself, we don't process food the way that the textbooks assumed everyone did. And so if you live a lifestyle that matches the way your body functions, you're able to lose weight and keep it off. But it's a very different diet program or lifestyle than someone who must count calories for weight loss.
I see. So now how does one determine if they have metabolism B? And what labs are included in that? Or what are some of the labs?
Yeah, there are three ways to determine. If you have lab work, and it should be updated like in the last 6 months, and it should be fasting, you look at your fasting glucose number, so that's the sugar, your blood sugar. You're going to look at your cholesterol profile, and you're going to look, if it's available, at a lab called hemoglobin A1C. Those three parameters on labs tell me very much in black and white, objectively, if your metabolism A or B. So your glucose, your cholesterol and triglycerides, and your hemoglobin A1C. Do you want me to tell you what the parameters should be?
Oh, sure.
All right. So if your metabolism A, if you have normal textbook metabolism, your glucose is going to be between the numbers 65 and 89 on your lab sheet. If it's under 65, or over 89, you've got something happening with your insulin level in your blood. So that's the first indicator when I look at someone's labs. If it's out of that normal parameter, I look further. The next place I look is triglyceride level. That number should be between 50 and 100. If it's under 50 or over 100, I look at the next parameter, and that's LDL cholesterol, and that number should be under 100. And then hemoglobin A1C, that's average blood glucose, should be 5.4 to 5.8.
Okay.
So objectively, you could look at a lab sheet and say, hey, yeah, there it is, I'm a B. But if you don't have labs, you can also look at your physical symptoms, and even without a lab slip, you're pretty certain if you're an A or a B. So I'm going to just quickly go over the physical symptoms of having this alternate metabolism.
Great.
Yeah?
Yes.
All right. First and foremost is this unusual feeling of fatigue. And it's the kind of fatigue where you can wake up in the morning after, you know, having slept through the night and feel tired.
Mm.
These people also, in the middle of the afternoon, between 3 and 5 p.m., you don't even need a clock, you get this slump in energy, an odd fatigue between 3 and 5. Second thing is the deposit of fat. If you've got fat around your middle, love handles, back fat, that, you know, weird gushy fat around the middle area, that's insulin-related fat. The pancreas that makes insulin is very close to that area, and that's where the deposits are. Your weight gain has nothing to do with your calorie intake. You could be on a 1,000-calorie diet and not lose an ounce if you have metabolism B. Third thing is this love of carbohydrate. People with metabolism B have a propensity to really enjoy bread and pasta, sweets, could be chips or pretzels, even fruit. But you find yourself almost drawn to those foods. It's like a craving. It's not just a like, it's a love of carbs. And there are many other symptoms, but also I want to mention that there is almost a feeling of like a brain fog that comes over you, where your ability to focus and concentrate and retain information starts to slip. And patients will come in and they'll say to me, you know, I'm pretty young, I'm like 42, I'm 45, I think I'm beginning to get Alzheimer's disease. I can't retain, I can't remember, I'm so afraid what's going on with my memory. And then when we straighten out their hormonal level of insulin, the memory's fine. Oh, and one more thing.
Oh, sure.
There's also a link between untreated metabolism B and vacillating between mild depression and anxiety in the course of a day. So there are times, like, you look around your life and you say, geez, I've pretty much got it together like anybody else has it together. Why don't I have joy? And then a couple hours later, you feel antsy, like, you know, you're going to come out of your skin. You could feel the roller coastering of what turns out to be blood sugar throughout the course of the day. So this metabolism B isn't only affecting your weight, but it's affecting 24/7 the way you feel, because it's a physiological problem. It's not an eating problem. It's actually a hormonal imbalance.
Well, you know, this book has changed my life because I have metabolism B.
Wow.
Definitely. Yeah. Now, what's interesting, though, with me is I've been thin my whole life. I mean, really, like, I was called olive oil in high school. I was made fun of for being skinny. I mean, I was, you know, constantly, oh, my God, you're too skinny, you're too skinny. And I've always been thin. And then I had my daughter, and I was still thin. I mean, everyone's like, how did you, you know, I gained 18 pounds and I was pregnant. How are you still thin?
Mm-hmm.
And then my daughter, I'm very open about this, has Asperger's and several other special needs. And it is extremely stressful. And all of a sudden, I'm putting on weight. I've got the back fat is, all of a sudden I'm like, what is this? What's going on? Where did I get this big butt from? You know?
And it seems to come overnight.
Yes.
You know?
Oh my gosh, completely. I mean, and for years, though, the interesting thing is that I was always sensitive to carbs. I've got the foggy headed, I got the anxiety and the ups and the downs and everything else you talked about, but I never had the weight gain. And you talk about the triggers, and I think I just mentioned a big one, which is stress. Absolutely. And I just wanted to say, personally, I'm just so excited about your book because I've been, you know, I eat so well, I eat a whole foods diet, I exercise, I do yoga, but yet still I don't feel right, you know.
And this metabolism B is genetic, so you don't cause it to happen, and you can't cause it to happen in your body. You have to have the genetic predisposition to this metabolism, and it's progressive. So I meet patients where the metabolism B has been triggered to the point that the labs change and the symptoms show as early as age 9.
Oh, my goodness.
But I could meet someone at 70 where they just at the age of 70 had enough of the triggers happen to kick the pancreas, which makes the insulin, into overdrive. And you had two things happen kind of at once. You had the hormonal change of pregnancy, and what that does to a body and to insulin is dramatic. So a lot of women after childbirth will say, geez, I'm never able to lose this weight that I gained after I had the baby. Well, that could have been the trigger. But then not long after that, you had tremendous stress.
Yeah, and lots of sleeplessness. You never really
have and never to sleep again.
Yeah. Oh, God.
No, I tease.
Yeah, I know.
Tease.
I know.
In about 21 years, you'll
know.
So, yeah, there are things that trigger metabolism B. There are four of them, and I call them the perfect storm. So a huge is stress. The second thing is a physical illness, and I'm not considering pregnancy to be an illness, but it certainly puts physical demands. If you have surgery, if you have like cancer, that kind of physical stress to the body can cause a problem. And then if you stop being active, sometimes like when you have children, you're active with the child, but you stop your physical routine, that makes a negative dent in the stress-related piece. And also this weight gain. The more weight you gain, the more stress there is on the pancreas. So if you've got stress, something physical that has happened, if you've got weight gain and stop exercising, put all that in a pot, and you have the gene for metabolism B.
Oh, wow, watch out.
That's the bullseye, yeah.
Yeah, sure is. Now,
right.
We could talk a little bit about the physiology of actually of insulin, or what, you know, just to give a little bit of background, what it does, how it works.
Sure. Insulin is a hormone. It is actually, unfortunately, a fat gain hormone. So what I'm saying is when you've got metabolism B, you make too much of a fat gain hormone. See, this doesn't sound like a good picture.
Let me tell you.
And it causes fat gain not only on the body, but in the blood, and that's why your cholesterol and triglycerides go up. So what happens is when a person eats carbohydrate food, it's very natural for anyone's blood sugar to rise. When that blood sugar rises, the pancreas automatically is supposed to put out the right amount of insulin to match the sugar. In someone with metabolism B, we have an overzealous pancreas that responds with too much insulin. And so that inherently, every time we put carbohydrate in, even if it's healthy carb, like you said, you have a healthy diet, if you've triggered B, you have a rattled pancreas, you're going to deposit fat for the carb that you ate. But there's one more issue here that is very sinister, Lisa.
Let me tell you, I had to buy all new pants. I know how sinister it is.
Worse than this. Sinister area is that people don't realize that any time they wait too long to eat, if a person goes more than 5 hours without eating, and it doesn't matter if your metabolism A or B, at the fifth hour in the human body, the liver automatically dumps some sugar into the bloodstream to keep you alive. So in a normal body, metabolism A, when the sugar gets dumped from the liver, the right amount of insulin comes out. But when you're a B and the liver does what it's supposed to do at the fifth hour, we end up putting out too much insulin. So if we wait too long to eat, we gain weight. No, you know, this is getting a little bit, and as if that weren't enough, during the night when we sleep, it's more than 5 hours until we eat again. So in the middle of the night, when you're sleeping, everybody's liver gives them some sugar to get them through the night. We over-respond with the hormones. So until we settle this insulin down, you literally wake up microscopically fatter than you went to bed.
I think it's more than microscopic.
This is so wrong. It's so wrong.
Oh, my gosh. Now, you talk about, they always say, oh, don't eat right before you go to bed. But you were saying you should eat before you go to bed if you have metabolism B.
Yeah.
And you should eat first within the first hour of waking up.
Right. So it's almost like bookends. When you're metabolism A, when I'm teaching someone with A, I basically tell them it's better for them to use up their calories earlier in the day because they're not going to have as much activity at night. When you're a B, I have to teach the opposite. We have to, like bookends, eat ASAP in the morning. Doesn't have to be breakfast, but could be a snack. And in the book, it'll give you the idea of what you need to eat there. And then at night, same thing. Right before your head hits the pillow, you want to eat something so that you control your blood sugar for the coming 5 hours, instead of letting the liver get its hand in the mix. And I have to tell you the truth now. If you're up in the middle of the night, if you're awake, it behooves you, if you're a bee, to take a snack in the middle of the night and beat the liver to any punch. And so we're...
Keep that in mind. I'm up a lot at night, so
yes.
To my daughter, so
and
I'll
keep
that in mind.
And if you are up and you take that as an opportunity with the bee, you're even in better control of your weight and your cholesterol and your 24/7 symptoms. Your brain doesn't have a clock, and it doesn't say it's 3 p.m. or it's 3 a.m. It runs on these five-hour blocks after which the liver will feed you. So if you block that liver release, you're in total control. It's phenomenal that when you put these lifestyle changes into play, how quickly your body will respond, because it is a physical anomaly, and you take care of the physical problem, and it's like, wow, my body works, you know?
That would be nice, because my husband is metabolism A all the way to such a degree that it makes me...
You tend to marry
It's horrible. I mean, like, now it's all whole grain, but... You know, the whole grain pasta, and he made this like amazing asparagus cream sauce pasta thing, and I'm like eating green beans for dinner, you know. And he's like, honey, you gotta eat more than green beans, have some pasta. And I'm like, you know, every morning I wake up and I'm so tired I can barely, I mean, and it's not just, I mean, even on a night that I slept. So that was the first thing that grabbed me about your book, this heavy feeling in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And here he'll have a beer. Now he exercises like crazy, I mean, it's so he's in great shape, and why can't I have metabolism A?
Yeah, but I will tell you, the way that this program works, just so that you see there's a light at the end of the tunnel, because you're kind of at the beginning
part of it.
So it's a three-part process, and I don't live in the first or second part. I've been following this program for almost 10 years. I live in maintenance.
Okay.
So you're ultimately going from an 8-week period where if there was a different way, I would have found it. But you have to go through a very low carbohydrate 8 weeks because you have to give the pancreas a break.
Okay, and that's step one.
And it is, it's like a rehab. And what it is really doing is it's resting your pancreas and your liver. That liver that feeds the sugar and the pancreas that makes the insulin, they're both in hyperspace. So you had to send them to the island, let them rest. In 8 weeks, it makes no sense to keep them on vacation because you can only rest so long and then it's no longer a rest. You know, it's lazy. So we bring them back. Phase two, or step two of this program, is very unique to the metabolism miracle because it's the only diet that in the middle step trains the pancreas-liver combination to work normally. See, most low-carb diets... Well, all low-carb diets were not written to match this problem pancreas.
Oh.
This is written so that once you rest it, you teach it or program the pancreas and the liver how to deliver insulin correctly. You stay on that middle stage until you love the way your body looks. So people are on the middle stage anywhere from 8 weeks to 8 months. It's their choice. That's a balanced diet. But maintenance, once you get to the size you want to be at, you want to maintain it, it allows for pasta, it allows for rice, it allows... This program is meant, when you land at maintenance, to be a truly balanced diet, which is about 33% carb, healthy protein, healthy fat. So you're not meant to be in a low-carb diet forever. There is hope, Lisa.
Oh, good. You know, it's funny, because I don't have the bread craving so much, but I am a fruitaholic.
Yeah,
and the
hard.
Idea of not having fruit for 8 weeks, I just, and especially because my daughter is just, she loves fruit. And so
right.
we're constantly, I mean, that, you look in the fridge and it's almost all fruit.
Yeah.
Like, how am I, you know, I can go without the bread and the pasta. I mean, it's hard watching my husband, but I got to have my nectarine. So
let me just say this. The body is built in such a way that if you, when you start this program, the first 3 days are very difficult because your body is used to such a roller coaster of blood sugar from too much insulin that when you put the brakes on the pancreas, you feel like you hit a wall. So for 3 days, I always tell my patients and readers that they could expect to feel irritable, crave carbs, just be very out of sorts. Consider that things are working.
Okay.
Day four, if you are still craving carbohydrate, including fruit, it doesn't mean you're not going to look in the refrigerator and say, ooh, I like this.
Yeah.
But if you don't feel like, you know, you got to slap your hand at that point.
Electric shock or something on the apple.
Yes,
little, you know.
If you don't need to be shocked. The thing is, you should not have cravings after day three. If you do, you got to reassess what you're eating because there's a chance you're not really resting that pancreas, because from day four to the end of that first 8 weeks, you should have no hunger, no cravings. If you do, there's a chance that the diet, you're not doing it correctly. And it's pretty black and white.
Oh, yeah.
To
no,
do.
I mean,
yeah.
It's great. It's so easy.
And also on that first phase, just so that people don't panic, there are products that were developed. There is low-carb bread, there's low-carb wraps, there are drinks like protein drinks that fit that stage, there's yogurt that's built to match phase one. You have to know how to read a food label to pick the right product, but you really don't have to go bread-free. There is no fruit, though, that's been developed to match those first 8 weeks.
But in the second 8 weeks or so.
Yeah, in the second 8 weeks. After the first 8 weeks, you could have fruit. There's normal whole wheat bread is on the diet. The first 8 weeks are just an anomaly. You have to do them, and they're doable, but you only do them once in your life.
Oh, that's nice.
And then you don't have to do that again. So every day you check it off and go, okay, one step closer.
Oh, well, you know, I mean, it's made such a difference. Now, you, it's in your personal story mm-hmm. in the book, you talk about that it was in your 30s is when things started to change.
Yeah,
you can tell us about that.
It actually started, I knew something was different with my body when I was, and I could tell you because I was 21, and I was in college not to be a dietitian. I was going to be in finance.
Oh, I'm so glad you became a dietitian.
Well, and in this economy, I think that was good. But,
yeah.
You know, what happened at that time, and the reason I switched careers midstream, I was halfway through, was because I really started to get interested in nutrition because the food I was putting in my body was not generating the right results, like you.
Mm-hmm.
I was eating a healthy diet, and I was starting to gain weight around the middle. And I was exercising, doing everything right, so got very interested in nutrition and went that way. But ultimately, the diet that I followed and learned through becoming a registered dietitian was a calorie-based, low-fat, low-cholesterol diet. So it precipitated my health problems. And so through life, on the perfect diet, I'm doing that with quotes,
yeah.
I ended up gaining weight. My pressure went from low blood pressure to normal to borderline to high. Then my cholesterol went from being low to high. And ultimately, by the time I was 38, I had developed and will always have type 2 diabetes. So if you met me at age 38, I was a registered dietitian running a diabetes center in a major hospital. And I had diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and weight around the middle, teaching and following the perfect diet. And at that time, I was already deep into the research. As I was getting sicker, I was trying to figure out why. And I had to leave that position, which was a great job, but I had to leave it because I knew at that time that what I was teaching was not correct for so many people. And I branched off and started, to really work full-time on developing the miracle. And thankfully, the physicians in the area who knew me supported me in this. And, you know, I was able to get patients that wanted to try something, and they became the database for the program. So it's been a long road, but it's done, and it works.
And didn't you end up getting off four medications that you were on?
Yeah. So at 38, I was actually on four different medicines, two for diabetes, one for blood pressure, one for cholesterol, and still my numbers weren't right. And now fast forward a couple years. No, I'm kidding. Fast forward to my present age, I don't take any medicine. Now, it's not because I'm anti-medicine. Like, if I need it, I take it.
Of course.
I don't need it anymore. And I have had diabetes now, you'll figure out the age, for 14 years. And 14 years into type 2 diabetes, it's very unusual to not need medication. It's not unusual anymore because my patients all end up in a boat where their medications are, by their physicians, drastically decreased.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So it is. Like, when they named the book The Metabolism Miracle, when the publishers chose that title, I thought, well, this title is pretty lofty. You know, do you think we should use that word? People who are following the program now from all over the world, they email and they say it's the perfect title because it is like a miracle. What this lifestyle change can do for your overall health and weight and well-being. So I'm just so happy to be involved in it and to be able to make such an impact in a very easy way and change, you know, the course of some people's lives. It's good stuff.
Oh, it's great. Well, what I'd love to do is have you back on. I've actually sort of started. I had like a slice of nectarine.
Listen, you.
I know.
You will never get beyond the craving for fruit.
No.
I'm pointing my finger now. Unless you wipe it out for three complete days.
Okay.
And then your craving, I promise you.
I believe you.
Yeah, it works. But it's a hard 3 days.
Oh yeah, no. I can do it. I know I can do it, and
sure.
I know that my listeners can do it too. And I encourage everyone get the book, The Metabolism Miracle: Three Easy Steps to Regain Control of Your Weight Permanently. And Diane, I do want you to come back after I do the 8 weeks. I'm going
to
get in touch with you soon, and then
we're going to
we're going to talk again.
Good.
And I want to thank you so much. Now, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, the best website to check if you're interested in learning more about metabolism being the book, the website is www.TheMetabolismMiracle.com. It's an educational website more than anything. It tells you, you'll learn so much about
great.
This. And also on there is a blog that I write into, and there's a lot of, like, just cool information from patients, and, you know, it kind of keeps you up to date. A couple times a week I blog on there, too. So it's a good website.
Well, I want to thank you, and my husband always laughs at me because he's like, you're just so open. It's like, you know what? I'd rather let my listeners know that, hey, I have issues, too, and I want help, and, it's a good thing.
In doing that, you help people. You know, if you keep everything to yourself and you know how to help somebody, or you could present more information, it's good stuff.
Oh, well, thank you. Now, if you want to reach me, you can simply go to itsyourhealthradio.org, and joining us this Thursday, August 20th at 9:30 a.m. is Alejandro Ungar, M.D., author of Clean, the Revolutionary Program to Restore the Body's Natural Ability to Heal Itself. He talks all about the importance of detoxification. He is a cardiologist in New York City. Really looking forward to hearing him. So be sure to listen. Have a great week. Keep being healthy. Bye-bye.